very much for coming, Executive Director Achim Steiner. Let me also welcome the Executive Secretary Rolf Paillet of the Basel, Rotterdam, and Stockholm Convention. Let me also welcome Secretary General John Scanlon of CITES, Dr. Adrian Macy, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, all of you, welcome to the WTO. I should start by saying that environmental issues are absolutely woven in the history of this organization. They first came into the agenda in the 1970s when our predecessor, the General Agreements on Tariffs and Trade, was still in place. And they were, of course, a key issue during the Uruguay round, which eventually led to the creation of the WTO in 1995. And the founders of the WTO saw clearly that the well-being of habitats, of societies, and economies are not separate. Rather, they are very, very closely linked. And their vision was of global cooperation in trade as a means to unleash growth, unleash the raising of the living standards, alleviate poverty, to ensure full employment, but all of that while also preserving the environment. And indeed, this principle of sustainable development is enshrined in page 1, paragraph 1 of the Marrakesh Agreement, which is our constituent text. In the 20 years since 1995, the connections between trade and the environment have grown significantly. And as a consequence, they have become an integral part of the work that we do here. And that's why, during this anniversary year, so we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, I thought that it was crucial that we put a real focus on these issues. And of course, 2015 is a pivotal year for trade and the environment together. There are a series of milestones this year, including the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris and the WTO's Ministerial Conference in Nairobi, and they will be held pretty much back-to-back in December. So with this in mind, I'd like to take the opportunity this morning to talk about the evolving links between these issues, so trade and environment, and some of the practical ways that we can work together to respond to the challenges that they both represent. And there are perhaps three major trends which we have which have pushed the environmental issues up the WTO's agenda. So first, there has been a huge increase in international trade since the creation of the WTO. So around 30% of what the world produces today is traded, 30%. And that was only 18% at the time when we were negotiating or launching the Uruguay round in 1986. Trade has played a major role in supporting growth and development during this period, and trade has proved to be one of the best anti-poverty tools in history. Now, as trade has grown, quite understandably, so have the concerns about the effects that it has on the environment, or that it can have on the environment. And some aspects of trade actually benefit the environment through supporting increased efficiency in production, for example. But there is no doubt that there can be harmful effects too. Let's not blind our eyes to that. And we must seek to manage and mitigate those risks. Now, trade in endangered species is one of such problems. And, of course, CITES is a good example of effective ways of combating these negative impacts. The second trend is that non-tariff barriers are growing in importance. As traditional barriers such as tariffs and duties are lowering and they're becoming less and less relevant as a means of protecting markets, NTBs are growing up. These non-tariff measures have been with us since the nations first traded with each other. So they are not new, and they cover several areas, you can imagine that, including, of course, the environment. And indeed, Every day, governments around the world adopt new non-tariff measures or make existing ones more stringent to curb mounting environmental pressures. And these measures range from green taxes on pollutants to requirements that seek to improve resource efficiency to government incentives to support green technologies. So we have seen this trend in our data here at the WTO. Today, almost one in every four notifications about technical requirements in WTO members is about measures related to the environment. And that ratio was 1 to 10 in 2003. So that shows you how significant this trend is. The use of these measures often affects trade. In the vast majority of cases, this is a byproduct of pursuing legitimate environmental concerns and other public policy goals. They're very legitimate, very appropriate, but there is also a risk that governments may use non-tariff measures in a protectionist manner as an excuse to impose protectionist measures. So we have ways to take care of this, and I will point that out in a moment, so let's be patient for a while. The third trend that I want to highlight is the increase in regional trade agreement in recent years. Now, since the establishment of the WTO, we have witnessed a steady rise in the number of these agreements with environmental-related provisions. Now, close to 60% of all such agreements notified to the WTO or to the GATT contain provisions related to the environment that go beyond what we find in the WTO agreements, 60%. And as I have said before, more work and more data are needed to gain a better understanding of what these numbers mean. What is clear is that both developed and developing countries increasingly see regional trade agreements as appropriate instruments to address trade-related environmental concerns. Now, the WTO, of course, has sought to react to these trends. Our rules give members ample room to pursue legitimate environmental and other policy goals while keeping protectionism firmly in check. And during the last two decades, several environment-related measures have been tested against those rules through the dispute settlement mechanism. The measures in question sought to achieve a variety of policy goals, from the conservation of sea turtles to the protection of the environment and of human health. The case law that has been developed here has confirmed that members may be permitted to apply trade-restrictive environmental measures, but they must also fulfill certain conditions to ensure that these environmental measures are not applied arbitrarily or used as disguised protectionism. We also have a forum dedicated to enhancing our dialogue and improving mutual understanding on these issues, and that's, of course, the Committee on Trade and Environment. And this forum has allowed members to maintain an open channel of communication with each other and with the environmental policy community as well, including with many of the multilateral environmental agreements. And as it has been instrumental in ensuring that the WTO's approach to the environment can evolve and adapt to changing realities on the ground. So we have a pretty good foundation that deals with environmental issues within the WTO, but there is no doubt that the links between trade and the environment are going to increase in the years ahead. Those discussions are going to increase, the debates are going to increase, and therefore we need to consider how we can build on those foundations that I just mentioned. Looking forward, trade will continue to be a key engine of growth in the coming years. And without trade, it is difficult to see how the world can provide for the additional 2 billion people expected by 2050 and respond to the urgent need to improve living standards, particularly for the poorest. And this calls for practical and realistic ways to make trade and environmental policies work together, both at the national and the international levels. And we're taking steps to tackle this through our negotiating agenda. So many of you may know that the WTO members have been discussing ways to achieve fewer and lower trade barriers on key environmental goods and services, which is part of the Doha Development Agenda. Independently, so not in the DDA, outside the DDA, a group of members who together account for the majority of global environmental goods trade, all these countries, they launched a process to eliminate tariffs on these goods last July. So that was something that was launched very recently. And these talks on an environmental goods agreement would include technologies like solar panels and hydropower turbines. It is a welcome endeavor, which could bring major economic gains. And crucially, although it is being taken forward by just a group of members, the benefits that would come from these negotiations, so the tariffs that would be brought to zero, they would apply to all WTO members, 161 as of yesterday. So, the elimination or reduction of trade barriers here would provide WTO members with greater access to a variety of imported goods involving environmentally friendly technologies and some of the services which support them. It could also help to stimulate innovation and facilitate the development of green industries. In addition to this work, I think that we should seek to enhance our coherence with other initiatives at the international level. So the Doha Agenda also puts a focus on the relationship between the WTO and the MEAs, the Multilateral Environmental Agreements, the WTO and MEA secretariats, including the UNFCCC, have been engaged in fruitful collaboration for some years now. And a successful outcome of our negotiations here would formalize this cooperation. Moreover, it would establish concrete means to avoid potential conflicts between WTO and MEA rules. For example, by strengthening national cooperation between government agencies which deal with trade and environment. So the WTO and UNEP have also worked actively and constructively together over the recent years. I think our joint report explaining for the first time the connections between trade and climate change was a seminal moment in bringing our institutions together. We should seek now to build on this partnership. The establishment of the UN Environmental Assembly, which held its first meeting last year, opens up, from our perspective, very fresh avenues for cooperation between our two agencies, and we stand ready to support the Environment Assembly in any way that we can. So, ladies and gentlemen, the creation of the WTO 20 years ago was a defining moment in the history of multilateralism. It also put the relationship between trade and sustainable development on a more solid footing. It has helped WTO members navigate successfully the rapidly evolving, expanding interface between trade and environment. But as I have indicated today, a lot needs to be done still. So we have the opportunity this year, and this year only, to take a big leap forward through closer cooperation of our organizations. We were just talking about that, Achim and I, a moment ago, through the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris, and by advancing negotiations here in the WTO, including the Ministerial Conference in Nairobi in December as well. So progress in each of these areas would be the best way to secure a better future for our habitats, our societies, and our economies, and therefore to deliver on the vision that the WTO founders had 20 years ago. So I know that we will be working, all of us together, to realize this goal, and I think that we are taking a very important step here today. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening.